If you are a business in the U.S., your costs probably jumped last month. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The Producer Price Index, it's a measure of inflation for businesses and producers, it rose last month. A lot. 0.6%, that's the largest month-to-month increase since 2012. Now, a big driver of this jump back in October was a spike in energy costs, oil prices, and those have gone down this month. Christopher Lowe is chief economist at FTN Financial and helps us out with these sorts of things. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Sabri.
0.6%. It's the largest monthly jump since May of 2012. So is this a sign that the inflation that everyone has been either worrying about or wondering about or looking for and not finding, is it finally here?
Absolutely. If you have a 0.6 jump in producer prices in a month, that is inflation. It's real. The good news on that front is that just yesterday, oil with a drop of 20% from its peak, entered a bear market. And that means that the same places where we saw price pressure in October, we're going to see price declines in November and December.
How should we think about this? I mean, is this going to be bad for consumers? More is going to come out of their pockets?
Well, not necessarily. And these are producer prices. So this is what businesses are paying for raw materials, for parts. And typically, producer price index is a lot more volatile. Retailers tend to smooth out those increases. So unless we see sustained producer price pressure, it will not be passed on to consumers.
Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Thanks again.
You're welcome.
One lonely area where President Trump and the new Democratic majority say they agree is on lowering the cost of prescription drugs. Marketplace's Ben Bradford takes a look at how far that agreement is likely to go.
Early in her celebratory speech Tuesday night, House Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi pledged once again their new majority will
lower the cost of health care by lowering the cost of prescription drugs.
President Trump has signaled openness, including at a bill signing last month.
If there's anything bipartisan, it's lowering drug prices.
It's not a usual polarizing issue. It's something where people want something done.
Harvard Health and Politics professor Robert Blendon says the challenge is how. House Democrats want to allow Medicare to negotiate prices with drug makers, while Senate Republicans will want free market solutions.
It has to be a compromise where one side got things to make the market work better and the other got some ability under Medicare to negotiate.
One group skeptical of a compromise? Investors. Analyst Art Hogan at B. Riley FBR.
So the market's telling us there's a lower likelihood necessarily of something getting accomplished, although it's very popular to talk about it.
After the election, pharmaceutical stocks went up, a big bet on continued gridlock. I'm Ben Bradford for Marketplace.
I'm Shepard from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I listen to Marketplace several times, actually every day, because it's got the economic news and developments that are important to me. I donate to Marketplace so that it can be available to everyone, and I sure hope you'll join me in this effort. Thanks.
To join Shepard as a Marketplace investor, donate online at marketplace.org.
Nuclear power is a source of carbon-free energy. It has not, however, performed well economically in many places. Reactor builder Westinghouse filed for bankruptcy. France's nuclear authorities deep in debt. The MIT Energy Initiative says there are ways to build nuclear power plants more efficiently. Jacopo Buongiorno is professor of nuclear science and engineering at MIT. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Let's just start with Chernobyl, Three Mile Island, Fukushima. Every generation seems to get a grisly, terrifying reminder of the risks involved with nuclear power. Why should we still be considering it?
The performance of the existing fleet in the U.S. has been continuously improving. Their safety record is outstanding. What has really been the problem for nuclear has been cost. We think that the main value of nuclear is its potential to decarbonize the power sector. And we show this if you look really on a global scale in the next 30 years of different regions of the world in which with nuclear in the mix, you're able to efficiently reach the decarbonization targets that are envisioned by, for example, the Paris Agreement, and at the same time maintain a relatively low cost of the energy system.
What does your study find and recommend for lowering costs of building new plants?
The bulk of the cost for nuclear electricity is really in the construction of the plant. The first is to build a standardized series of plants. So the experience shows that there are very, very strong learning gains to be had. But then also we found that particularly for countries like the U.S. or many countries in Europe where the productivity of the construction sector is not particularly high, whereas the productivity of the manufacturing sector is extremely high, our factories, our shipyards. So the idea is to try to shift as much labor from a construction site to factories and shipyards. Another area in which we found that there is promise is concrete. There are now ways to essentially pre-assemble concrete structures, again, off-site, and then bring them in, as well as reducing the time and cost associated with erecting reinforced concrete structures at the site.
What do you do about the waste? It's a real thorny political issue here. No one wants to take it, so it just sort of sits underneath nuclear power plants wherever they're built. What do you do about that?
The first thing to realize is that the amount of material that we're talking about here is pretty low, particularly considering the enormous amount of energy that is generated by these plants. It is nasty stuff, and it's long-lived, but we have fairly robust technical solutions to handle. It's a matter of implementing them in a politically durable process.
Jacopo Buongiorno, professor of nuclear science and engineering at MIT, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.